The next place I felt like the Lord was taking us was this, the power of a door. And when he first started working on my heart with this, I was like, okay, a door is generally not a good thing, right? Because what does Jesus say? I stand at the door and I knock, right? So we see that when you think about a closed door, especially, it's like all of a sudden these, oh, somebody's, you know, they're keeping the Lord out. They don't want, but this is a totally different way of looking at this, okay? It's amazing. So the power of a door. Today we're going to look at 2 Kings 4. And I've shared on this story before, but I saw something this week that I've never seen before. And in verse 1 it says, "The wife of one of the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as slaves.'" So even if you love the Lord, how many people know you can still get in a place of debt? This was one of the prophets. This is one of the men that God spoke through to touch the community. In those days, it was even more important than now because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. They couldn't just talk with the Lord when they wanted to. They had to go through someone. Amen? And so it says that she comes to him, and Elisha replied to her in verse 2, "How can I help you? Tell me what you have in your house." I remember that. "Your servant said, 'I have nothing here at nothing there at all, except a little oil.'" Don't ever underestimate the little that you have. Amen? Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors," not a couple, not a few, "ask all your neighbors for empty jars." And then he gave her a very important instruction. Don't ask for just a few. Okay? Some people say, well, our God is a stingy God. If he was a stingy God, Elisha would have told this lady, only ask for 3 pots. Did he say that? No, he said to go to all the neighbors, not 2 or 3, not those that she knew. He said all the neighbors, and don't ask for just a few. So the opposite of few is what? Many. Just want to make sure everybody understands and sees this picture here. "Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil in all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to the side." She left him and afterward shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." He replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left." First of all, that's just a powerful story just in and of itself. If you didn't do any more research, didn't even do any more thought, it's an incredibly powerful story. But we're going to see today the importance of a door, of how powerful it is. And the first point, shut the door behind you and protect your faith. Now, the man of God told her something pretty crazy, right? If I were to come to you and say, "The Lord told me the way to end your debt is go to all your neighbors, ask them for jars, and that oil that you have in your cupboard, it's going to keep flowing and flowing, and you're going to be able to pay off your debt with that." Has anybody just stopped and thought about that for a second? You'd be like, okay. Are you feeling all right today? Did you have a bad dream or something? What? I mean, in reality, we look at this and we go, "Oh yeah, go grab your pots and keep." In her mind, she knows exactly. She's a mom. She knows exactly how much oil is left in that pot, right, girls? We know. We know exactly how much is in there. So in her mind, she's thinking, I think I already told him there's just a little oil left in the pot. And he wants me to go to all my neighbors and ask for jars and to keep pouring that oil, and it's going to fill more pots? It was so important. His instruction to her was, when you've gotten those jars, you go inside your house and you shut the door behind you. Why is that so important? Because how many times has God told you to do something in your life, something that maybe to everybody else would seem crazy? And maybe you even ventured to share a part of that dream to someone, and they come in and they're like, whack. They just want to cut off that dream. They want to cut off that vision. They want to tell you all the reasons why you cannot in the natural do that. And Elisha knew it was super important for this woman and her sons, and I love it. He didn't say put the kids outside. Oh no, they needed to see the power of God in their lives so they would know how that God takes care of his people. Amen? And so they go inside because he needed to shut out all the other voices. She had enough voices in her head telling her what she was doing was crazy, right? She didn't need any more. And sometimes when the Lord gives us something in our finance that he wants us to do, sometimes we need to go inside the house with our kids and shut the door. We need to shut off everything else so that nothing else can come in and kill, steal, and destroy our faith. Because faith, he says, even if you have a mustard seed, it can move a mountain, right? And yet how many people are living with mountains right in their neighborhoods? Right in their homes, right in their families. Why is that? Because the devil comes in and he gives you every reason in the world why it won't happen. And how many times does it come through a very dear and loving friend or a family member or maybe a neighbor or maybe someone at work? They mean well, but they just want to tell you, well, that's a little extreme. I don't think that you really heard from God about that. If this widow would have not listened and shut the doors, who knows what would have come in? You know, neighbors walking by, why'd you ask for pots? What are you doing in here? You know, some nosy person, what? You're pouring jars of oil? How is that happening? How is that working? You see how that comes in and it's little seeds of doubt that come in and they're trying to destroy your faith. Why? Because the devil doesn't want to see you get your blessing. So there is power sometimes in a closed door. And what happened behind this closed door? A miracle. A miracle happened. Her and her sons watched God do something supernatural. He took a little of something and kept filling and filling and filling and filling and filling and filling and filling. And I could keep going with the filling parts because there were many jars in her house. And that oil kept coming. And you know, probably the first jar, they all went, is this going to work? Is this going to work? And then they saw it working. And then it's working and it was full. Give me another one. Give me another one. And you can kind of feel the excitement growing. But if the door hadn't been closed, someone at any point could have come in and cut off the blessing. Could have come in with their doubt and their wondering and their questioning and shut it all down. In this day and age, God is doing a work in his people and in his church that does not make sense in the natural. So you're going to have to be careful when the Lord gives you something to do in your finances. Close your mouth, close the doors, and protect your faith. Because God will accomplish the work in your life. He has promised that when you give, see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing you cannot contain. And like I've said before, I'm doing better, but I'm not there yet. Amen? So I don't want anyone or anything to come in and kill, steal, and destroy my faith. So sometimes that means that we close the door and we don't let any other voices in. Amen? She went inside, shut the door behind you and your sons, pour oil into the jars, and as each is filled, put it to the side. Elijah already knew. She's going to have lots of jars with lots of oil. Amen? And then what does he say? Go sell the oil and pay your debts. So let's go back up to the top. It says, now the creditor is coming to take my two boys as slaves. She was able, because of her faith, not just to save herself, but she was able to save her sons. How awesome is that? When you stop and think about her faith, to believe that a little God could make much that would provide for not only her, but her sons to be saved. But I love this part, because says when God wipes away debt, don't think he's done. He's not done. What does the very last thing say? You and your sons can live on what is left. He left her with an inheritance. God said, I'm not just going to wipe out your debt. I'm going to leave you with enough that not just you, but both of your boys can live on this. Hallelujah. That is amazing. Amazing. Once again, when God blesses us, it's not just about us. Amen. As I've been sharing, Pastor Steve and I have been getting these different blessings that have been coming in. And there's the temptation, trust me, to just put all of those jars of oil in the back. Save them up, right? But I just felt like this week, I was like, you know what? No, this isn't my source. I need to be asking the Lord, is there something else I need to give? And Steve and I prayed about it, and we talked about it. And in the natural, it does not make sense. Just like pouring a little tiny jar of oil and watching it fill all these jars doesn't make sense. It does not make sense. But I'm here to tell you today that if you will keep the flow going in your life, those finances are going to keep flowing. You're going to be able to pay off your debts, maybe even save your children in the process, amen, and have enough for you and your children to live on. I got to hear at least one amen. Come on. This is powerful stuff. And the key is this. When the Lord gives you something, shut the door to the world and all the negativity and all the questioning and say, no, I'm going to have faith to believe that this is possible. The power of a door. It shuts off. It shuts out the things that don't need to be in your life. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, I'm just so excited once again about this new series, Father. I pray every time we see a door, we're going to be reminded of this series. We're going to be reminded, wait a minute, I'm not shutting the door on God, but I'm shutting the door on the enemy coming to steal from me. I pray all week when people go into their homes, Father, the things that you have spoken to their hearts, the dreams that you have given them about their finances or about their futures, I pray those things are going to be coming up inside of them again. Maybe their dreams that you gave them 10, 20, 30 years ago about how you wanted them to be financially. I thank you, God, that this week those things are rising up again. And when they do, Father, that they're going to take that seed of faith and they're going to slam the door on the devil. They're going to slam the door on any words that people spoke against that dream. And they're going to begin to rekindle. They're going to take action. The woman had to go out and get the pots. She had to actually physically fill the pots and move the pots with her son. Father, there is parts that we have to play. So whatever their dream is, give them the steps to make that dream come true. And Father, we praise you. Money is not our master. You are our master. You give us money so that we can be blessed to be a blessing. And we just thank you, Father. Every week we close our doors physically, spiritually. We're going to hear that. Shut the door to the devil and protect your faith. We praise you, Father, for your anointing. Every gift that's given today, bless the seed and the sower. Father, we praise you for a amazing harvest, Father, for more behold moments, for more rivers, Father, that bring hope until we are in our promised land and are debt-free. And we praise you and we thank you, Father, that you are giving us the wisdom we need to know of what to do with the finances that you give us. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory for what you've already been doing in our finances and what is yet to come. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, stretch your hands out toward the giving nets. Let's make a statement of faith over our tithes and offerings. Just say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my giving. Harvesting angels, go to the north, south, east, and west. I receive bonuses, raises, increase, favor, debt cancellation, homes, businesses, ministries, properties, buildings acquired, vehicles, education, promotions, favor, the blessing of God in every area of my life, in Jesus' name. Somebody say, amen. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you for that beautiful offering message, Pastor Shelley. Hallelujah. I guess we can click over to the next screen here. And thank you for the beautiful worship, Live and Good Family. Wow. You guys are a blessing. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray over this message as well. Father God, we thank you today for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen. Thank you guys for just continuing to come to church, you know. If you haven't noticed, it's not the easiest time in life to go to church right now. Amen. There's still signs around town that say, limit gatherings. You know, church is dangerous almost, as these kind of things, right? But you're here, amen. And the mask thing is not a normal thing, amen. We have to avoid the temptation to just start saying things like, this is normal now. No, it is not normal. I heard a report this morning that on the state of South Dakota has never done masks, has never shut anything down, and they have extremely low numbers without doing anything. So, but yeah, that makes you want to get a little bit chippy with our leaders, but we got to avoid that, okay? We pray for our leaders. Amen? I'm not moving to South Dakota, but boy, they're a great example. Facts are facts. Amen? So thank you, Lord, right now for touching our leaders, Governors Inslee and Brown, and who's the governor in California? Temporarily, anyway. What's his name? Newsom. Governor Newsom. Help them, Lord. Help them, help them, help them. Somebody say, help them. And we bind COVID. We bind these restrictions. We bind the enemy. We thank you, Lord, that we're expecting to wake up and hear the all clear. It's just gone. Amen. And big churches can open again without restrictions. And we don't have to wear masks and these kind of things. Hallelujah. Church or schools aren't clinical places where you have to look at somebody through plexiglass and all these, you know, this kind of stuff. Praise God for innovations. Praise God that we're doing stuff. We were at the mall yesterday, and man, there was a lot of people at the mall. And that was awesome to see. Praise the Lord. And even some of the little activities, the laser tag and the bungee jumping, they're open. So it was like encouraging, right? And there's still some things that aren't, but we're just believing God to break this thing. Amen. And sometimes faith is instantaneous. The results are instantaneous. Sometimes it is a process. So we don't start saying things like, well, it ain't working. No, it is working. Amen. And by the way, 1 year to God, it's like not even a millisecond in his time, right? So us westernized American believers, sometimes we get into this microwave mentality, right? Man, if it didn't happen in 30 seconds, must not be God's will. Somebody say, yes, it is, right? It's God's will for us to be free. And even down to you kids who are in church, you kids are doing such a great job. We appreciate you guys. Amen. And we love having a family service, but there are classes for you too that are coming. Amen. I'm looking forward to the little cinnamon rolls returning in some sort of a coffee bar, you know, something like that. Amen. So just let's just keep pressing, right? But somebody say, we're here. So while we're here, let's get right to the word and just believe God to do awesome things. And not just here, but in your life, whatever you're facing at work or at home. Somebody say, Jesus is everywhere, right? He doesn't stay here in the church. Amen. He goes with us, doesn't he? But our message we're continuing is called The Great Mercy of God. It's hard not to say that without drawing out that word great. Somebody say the great mercy of God. And don't you know, our God is a God of great mercy. Amen? If he was not, boy, I'll tell you what. You know, one of the first people I want to shake hands with when I get to heaven is Noah. Can you imagine if there was no Noah? I mean, he's one of the guys that stood in the gap and saved us all, amen? And he was a type of Jesus, right? But hallelujah for people like that, that will just stand in the gap, amen? And you and I, we have to have that same spirit about us, no matter what the world is looking like, no matter how people are talking at work or on the news or whatever, we're just gonna keep loving God anyway, amen? We're gonna get up and go to church anyway. And I think there's a scripture that says something about if two or more gather together. What did he say? Gather. Whoa, now hang on. Don't be gathering together. Oh, yes, we're going to gather together. Even if we'll honor with the social distancing they're talking about and wearing a mask, but we are going to gather together. Somebody say praise the Lord, right? But thank God for his great mercy. Lamentations 3:22, if you have your notes there, our foundation text, it says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Does anybody need more light in here? You guys all right? We can bump the lights up a little bit if we need to. We're good? All right. Amen. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Hey, thanks, Lane. Because his compassions fail not. There is no end. Somebody say there's no end to God's compassion, to Jesus' compassion, to his mercy. And sometimes it seems like if you just turn the TV on or turn your phone on, it seems like there's no end to the evil. Amen? For the first time, I put Facebook on my phone, right? And there's this video area. And I noticed the videos were like, these are weird videos, man. It seemed like there was no end to the weird video. We're posting our devotional on there and stuff, and I'm like, man. So I noticed there's a button on there that says, see less of this. Right? And then there'd be a Rick Renner video surrounded by other weird things, right? He's great. So I'd say, see more of this. See less of this, see more of this. See less of this, see less of this, see more of this, see more of this. Toby Mac video, see more of this. And do you know what? It's good. Hallelujah. But we have to have a mentality like that with our lives, don't we? Right? See less of the trash, hear more of the truth. Amen. And before long, the trash is just gone, right? And it seems like the trash is just trying to overtake the world, right? Some of this stuff that's on social media, it's like, you want to shut down the President of the United States? But this is okay? It's like the lunacy, right? So praise the Lord. But we want to see less of the devil and more of God. In fact, if there was just a button to say, don't see this at all. Praise the Lord, right? Amen. I guess it's like that scripture, submit myself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Amen? So we have to be people that are real good at resisting the devil, people that are real good at submitting to God. Amen? Even when the world says everything under the rainbow, so to speak, is okay. The rainbow is not about what the world says it is. The rainbow reminds God of Noah. It doesn't remind God of, you know, two guys getting married. It doesn't remind God of 72 genders. It doesn't remind God of all that crazy stuff, right? It reminds God of his mercy. Somebody say his mercy. His mercy will outlast the filth. The filth is going to go, man. Amen? God doesn't hate the sinner. He hates the sin. Because the sin is what kills a person. Right? As long as they're breathing air, as long as they're breathing air and walking in this earth, they're only one decision away from eternity. From Jesus, right? No matter how dark, how evil, how gross, how obscene, how nutty. Somebody say one decision. One decision away from Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because his compassions fail not. But he was reminding me this past couple weeks that his mercy is a pathway, right? God's mercy is extended to the entire world. But it has to be received, right? It has to be believed. It has to be received. It has to be acted upon, activated, right? Otherwise, if somebody has not received Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life, they are still condemned with sin. Somebody say, I'm not with sin. I'm with Jesus. I'm with Jesus. Hallelujah. But these words, we'll just review real quickly. The word mercies include words like favor, loving kindness. That's a big one. It's about the love of God. God doesn't hate people, no matter what color their hair is, no matter how many genders they think they are, right? No matter what political party or how many babies they've aborted. He doesn't hate the people, right? He hates the sin. He loves the people. And as the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to remember this, right? I need to remember some of the things that he's brought me out of, delivered me from. And even if your testimony isn't all that long, we still need to remember. One of the chapters I read this week in my Bible reading, Jesus was talking to some his guys about the evil leadership or something in the area. And he was like, yeah, you think all that's bad? He's like, well, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. It's not like there's these grades of sin, right? It all, somebody say, sin sends anybody to hell, no matter if it's a little sin or a big sin, right? And there's only one way out of that. And what's his name, church? It's Jesus and faith in Jesus, right? So, but God loves the people, doesn't he? Amen? So hate, I've seen bumper stickers, hatred is not a family value. Oh, yes, it is. Hatred is a biblical value. Hate what is evil. Not who is practicing evil, but hate what is evil. Love what is good. Cling to what is good. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, the word consume means words like fail and be all gone, be spent, be wasted, to destroy as by burning. That's a dictionary definition. To devour. How many know the devil is called the devourer? He comes to steal, so then he can kill, and then he can destroy, right? What's he stealing? Somebody, if you have your Bible, hold it up. This is what he wants to steal. Out of our hearts. Amen? So when we're in situations like this, or like our Jesus family in Texas right now, our believing family in Texas that have had these crazy ice storms, and some of them are still without power or water, and these kind of things, some of the COVID things, right, the racism things, that just seem to drag on and on and on and on and on, right? We've got to be people that keep this word in our hearts before circumstances, right? No matter how long the circumstance wants to play out, that doesn't change this. This has been around a lot longer than that circumstance. Amen. There might be facts that we deal with, that we face, but the truth outweighs the facts. And the truth can change the facts too. Amen? Glory to God. So we don't listen to the devourer. We don't allow him to consume our stuff, to consume our lives. Amen? It means, consumed also means words like destruction, waste away. Amen? His compassions are not consumed. His compassions don't waste away. They don't go away. They stay forever. Amen? And compassions means, again, love. Means find, have, obtain, show mercy, mercy upon. Somebody just said, Lord, thank you for your compassion toward me. And if I'm constantly reminding myself, like Pastor George was talking this morning at EMIC about how much he now appreciates a hot shower because their house has not had water for like 2 weeks, and they're in a hotel. And he's like, this hotel is so great because I can, it has a little monitor and you can take a 108-degree shower. And so he's like, this afternoon after church, I'm going to take another one. And we just need to be constantly bathing ourselves, reminding ourselves of his compassion toward us. And what that does is it helps me be more compassionate to others. Because I don't know about you, but I could get mad at some people right now. Right? I love Keith Moore. The past couple times I've listened to him, he'll come to his congregation, he'll go, some of you are still mad about the election. I'm like, I repent. Amen. Somebody to say, trust God. His compassions fail not. Hallelujah. And that word failed means to end, to cease, to perish, to expire. Man, we had some bread last week that we had on the table. A lot of us aren't eating much bread anymore. And Lindsay was, she goes, Dad, this loaf of bread says it was done after January 31st. And it was like February, I don't know what it was. It was expired, okay? God's mercies don't expire. Amen? They're there day after day after day after day after day. Hallelujah. It means faint, consume away, destroy again. There it goes, waste. Hallelujah. God's mercies fail not. Praise the Lord. Well, today I want to look at this concept in the next few minutes here of obtaining God's mercy. And I was reading a faith-to-faith daily devotional this past week, and it talked about Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. And I'm going to read it in the King James Version here, and we'll look at some more. We're just kind of, you know, laying a foundation, because in the next few weeks, I want to really look at the mercy of God through the life of Jesus as we're heading toward Resurrection Sunday. Amen? And this all sets it up, right? Because don't you know, Jesus is the mercy of God in the flesh, right? Amen? And it says this, Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Praise God. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Amen? So this thing about God, you don't understand what I'm going through, is not true. Right? Jesus became a man in the flesh. He dealt with every possible temptation and pressure of the devil, and probably worse than we would have to, right? He had to resist the devil to the point of being brutally tortured and murdered and have all the weight of sin on his life, amen? So this idea of, well, that was Jesus, right? He doesn't understand. He does understand. Somebody say, he understands, right? Praise God. Let us therefore come boldly, verse 16, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Somebody say, obtain mercy. And find grace to help in time of need. So that just reminds us that mercy is not just an automatic thing. Right? It needs to be obtained. Like salvation, right? Salvation, being saved from hell, is offered to the entire planet. But is everybody saved? No. They have to go and obtain it, right? They have to receive this. And the mercy of God is that same thing, right? And some key definitions on that verse that I want to look at. In verse 14, the word passed. When it says, seeing then that we have a high priest, a great high priest, that's Jesus, that is passed into the heavens. Amen. And that, I love that. It says to go onward, to precede. Jesus has preceded us, hasn't he? He's created the pathway to, he is the pathway to heaven, isn't he? Right? To go before, to be superior, above. Amen. Did you know that Jesus is superior to us? Right? He is God the Son. I'm his servant. I'm his son. He will always be superior to me. Amen? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Amen? And yet, there are scriptures that say he has raised us up together with Christ Jesus to sit in heavenly places, right? So we have his authority. But somebody say, he's God, right? Amen. But I love that the dictionary definition is the one I wanted to focus on here. Successfully completed, that word passed. And I think of school when I think of that, right? When somebody passed, my kids get great grades. They get that from their mom, from God, right? Amen. Shelley's the valedictorian. Hallelujah. I won't say what my GPA was because I don't remember. I just remember that I passed. Amen. But Jesus passed every single test. I did not. I can tell you right now. But he did. And he did it as a man. He successfully completed and passed every single test of this life. Nobody else has ever done this, right? Nobody. Somebody say nobody. Noah, Mary, right? Daniel, Joseph, Adam, me, you, Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, whoever, right? Jesus is the only one who has successfully completed and passed every test of this life. Every temptation the devil could throw, he passed. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, right? He did it. Praise the Lord. And verse 15, when it says, we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And that word infirmities means words like feebleness of body or mind. Did you ever stop and think that Jesus got tired? Right? He had to sleep. He had to eat. He had to use the restroom. Mary had to change his diapers. He felt pain. Now, he never had diseases, and he bore those things, right? He never sinned, but he felt the feebleness of flesh. He understands this, right? Praise the Lord. Weakness of the flesh. Compared to being God the Son, when it says he laid his glory aside for those 33 years, he understood the feebleness, the weaknesses of the flesh, the frailty of the flesh. He understood. Somebody say, he understands, right? This is why, church, he can be our Savior. He can be our Lord. He can be our King. This is why his mercy is offered to the world, right? That word obtained, here we go, verse 16. We're going somewhere here. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. See, religion says you kind of have to back in. You ever seen The Wizard of Oz, right? Where they come and it's fire and thunder and, you know, and they're afraid. No. You come to God as your heavenly Father. You come to his throne boldly when you're born again, right? And when you're getting saved, you still come because it's offered to you the same as anybody, right? Come to God. Somebody say, come to God. It says, come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Did you know that's the only place to get mercy is from the judge? He's not just daddy, he's the judge. Right? And we don't come to daddy, to the judge, defending ourselves. Oh, no, I did that because I was raised this way and I have these weaknesses and I have these issues in my life. I have these problems. I've been raised in this kind of nation. My skin's this color. I'm this gender. You know, I was abused. No. Somebody say no. You just come and say, yeah, I did it. I did that. I admit it. And I receive my forgiveness from that. I'm admitting to you it's wrong that I did that. I'm admitting to you it was evil that I did, that I said that I thought that. And I'm here to obtain mercy. Mercy is extended to people who admit they need it. Amen? There's no mercy extended to people that don't think they need it. And there are those people out there. Somebody say, not me. Not me, no. I admit, Father, I needed your mercy. I still need your mercy. I receive your mercy. Somebody say hallelujah. So we come to obtain his mercy. And that word obtain in the Strong's Concordance, one of the first things is to have offered to. Now listen to that. This is true for every human being on the planet before they die. I've had people tell me before, well, I don't know if I believe any of that. I'll find out after I die. You may not want to wait that long because it's going to be too late after you die. Amen? Somebody say, I believe now. I accept the offering. Now, this is why it's so important, because who did God the Father offer? His Son. His own Son bled and died and was brutally tortured and murdered so I could receive mercy. So to reject that? Somebody say, no. No. So you come to God saying, Lord, I receive what you offered. I receive it all. Yeah, but what I did was so bad. Get over it. It's not about how bad it was what I did. It's about how good it was what he did. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we accept the offering. It's nothing you could earn. I remember, again, I shared this a couple weeks ago, that Kenneth Copeland was sharing about a woman that had a near-death experience. She was in heaven with Jesus, and he said, you know, it's not welcome, but it's not your time yet. You need to go back. And he turned to walk away. I don't remember all the details of it, but he sensed that she felt like she owed him everything. And he turned around and he said, you don't owe me anything. What I did was a gift. Wow. Now that's a transforming kind of love that changes you if you let it. Amen? So we receive the gift of God's mercy. Now, a gift, you don't have to receive it. You can send it back. Like the pair of slippers I found at Kohl's a couple weeks after Christmas. And hey, there's the perfect pair of slippers. I've been looking for those. And I'm taken to the cash register, and I look on the bottom, and there's a piece of wrapping paper still stuck to the bottom. Somebody had returned them, right? Somebody had rejected that gift. Somebody say, don't reject the gift of Jesus, the mercy of God. Amen? And the word obtain also means to take, to get a hold of. Don't you know, this is a powerful statement right here. The Holy Ghost is talking to us, right? Before I can get a hold of myself, why don't you just get a hold of yourself and read some self-help books and change yourself? Well, the reason I can't is because first I have to get a hold of his mercy and let his mercy do the changing. Amen? If I can just take and get a hold of the mercy of God, that will change me. Amen? Glory to God. To get a hold of, to seize, to accept, to catch, to have, to receive. Amen? Somebody to say, I receive the mercy of God. I love, you know, we kind of pull for Justin Herbert at our house, the Oregon Ducks quarterback that's now with the San Diego Chargers, and he got Rookie of the Year. And it was so funny. I remember last year about this time, they were getting ready for the NFL draft, and they were showing video of him, and there were questions about his leadership and is he good enough. And I can't ever wash this out of my head of these receivers in college that the ball was hitting them in the head and bouncing off their helmet. They wouldn't catch it. It was right there. Boing. Somebody say, you got to catch it. He's putting it right in your hands. Just catch it. God has made this so simple. That's I think, part of what's going to make hell hell for a lot of people, is how simple it was. The gospel is it's too simple, to be honest, for a lot of people, because they're proud. It's a pride thing. I have to do something to earn this. That's what false religion is about. Redeeming yourself, right? I could not redeem myself. I need a redeemer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord forevermore. Welcome to Redeemed Church, by the way. Praise the Lord. And finally, as we close, I love this. Somebody say, every time we pass, right? Hebrews 2:18 says this in the New King James. I think I made a little typo there. He himself has suffered being tempted. Because he has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are being tempted. Right? The reason Jesus can help us is because he lived on this planet. He passed. Somebody say, he passed. He successfully completed every pass. Maybe one way to say it. He passed every test. He successfully completed this life, resisted the devil, laid his life down. So he is the one, somebody say, he's the one that can help me. And here's where the Passion Translation of this verse really is a big thing I want us to get today. It says, he suffered, again, Hebrews 2:18. He suffered and endured every test and temptation. Let me say every test and temptation, right? He conquered COVID. He conquered poverty. He conquered racism. He conquered perversion. He conquered hate, whatever. You know, he conquered it. He passed, right? He suffered and endured every test and temptation so that he can help us every time we pass through the ordeals of life. Somebody say glory to God. He can help me. How many times can he help me? Somebody say every time. Every time. Through the ordeals of this life, he is my helper. He's always there, all the time, every time. He's already conquered it. He's already walked through this. Amen? But the thing that the Holy Ghost pointed out to me, and this is a Holy Ghost moment here, the whole thing is, but this right here I want us to really get. Every time you have ever failed, because I don't know about you, but that gets in my head. I did this, I did that, I fell short here, I fell short there. Did you come to the mercy when you failed? Did you come to the mercy? Go like this, yes. Then every time you think you failed, you really passed. Why? Because your faith is in him. And he already passed it all. So every time, somebody say, every time I pass, you have passed because he passed. So no matter what's in your past, right? No matter what's in my past, because he has already passed and completed and overcome, and I've come to him for his mercy, that means every time. Every time. Because I don't know about you, but I can go back to days, moments, instances, occurrences, events in my life and begin to dwell on, oh man, that was stupid what I did. That was stupid what I said. Man, I wish I could go back and just not do that, not say that. Guess what? You didn't. You passed, because by the blood of Jesus, that is washed away forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Never happened. That's the word justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Now that takes mind renewal. That takes coming to him often and fellowshipping with him. But somebody say, every time. Because the devil wants to come and remind me of every time I failed. Or you remember that time? You remember, what about that time? What about back there in 86? What about there in 2018? What about 5 minutes ago? Right? Somebody say no. No, I passed. I passed because my faith is in the one who passed every test on my behalf. Glory to God forevermore. Let's pray right now. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your great mercy. Thank you for your great love. Just lift your hands and thank him. Just say, Lord, I thank you. I receive your mercy today. Hallelujah. I thank you for it. I praise you for it. I take it. I will walk the pathway of your great mercy, Father, and share it with others. Just allow that blood of Jesus to just wash you and cleanse you of your mind, your thoughts, your heart. Just say, Lord, I receive that cleansing today. Thank you, Father, that because Jesus passed, so did I. Oh, and I'll give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God. Somebody just say hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God.